This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebepe, Joe Serralo, hanging out with you guys where we are partying in the city where the heat is on all night at the beach of the break of dawn. Our guy Joe out there in South Beach in Miami. We absolutely love it. That's why I had to, for those of you just joining us now, whether on video or audio, I had to dress in my best Miami getup for today's show because I couldn't be there. Or I'll phrase it this way. I'm not there in Miami. So I was like, you know what? I'm in Vegas, but I'll partake in the theme of South Beach Sunday as we're having ourselves a good time. 1 hour down. We still got 3 hours to go on this bad boy, but it's going to be fun nonetheless.
It's going to be a busy day. We got 3 hours left here, Sunday night baseball, and then Sunday nights at LIV. You know how it rolls, man. So light sleep. Not for me. Definitely not a light sleep for me.
You were going to be exhausted on that flight home Thursday. You were going to be so exhausted.
But I still can't believe that I made a 7-day trip to South Florida. Like this should be a weekend, maybe a long weekend. If you got like, you know, Columbus Day or MLK Day, you can splurge on a third night. Seven nights in Florida, man, that's dangerous. Well, at that point, I should have just gone to Europe for 2 weeks.
I mean, we said it last week. I'm like, man, you're setting up shop, bro. Like it's like 7 days. It's like, you might as well
be living out of hotel rooms here, man, you know?
It's like, you might need to get a new ID. You're a resident damn near, man, out there in Florida, 7 days.
Trust me, this is not no Florida man over here, all right? Don't put that out there, man. There's no Florida man over here. I'm just out here having a good time for a little bit.
He is an East Coaster, but he is now totally SoCal. We love it, man. I'm a West Coast guy as well, so I can appreciate that. But we have the PGA Tour 3M Open going on right now, which we actually just saw moments ago. Scottie Scheffler, short putt for birdie, lips out. So it is still a 3-shot lead for the youngster, the young gun, Jackson Koivin, who is currently at 23 under over at DraftKings, the live markets. Well, It's all over but the crying, right? Jackson Koivin, minus 1,200 at DraftKings. Scottie Scheffler now plus 920. Brian Harman at 78-1. And really nobody else that needs to be mentioned when you take a look at this leaderboard or in the betting market, because those are the guys who have run away from the pack. I mean, Gary Woodland and Billy Horschel, my guy that I bet on at the start of today, thinking that he could make a run. He has not made a run, unfortunately. They're at 17 under alongside a plethora of other golfers, Chandler Phillips, Denny McCarthy, Ben Coles. It is a 3-man race here. Koivin leading it, though, as he just turned pro. I think it was about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, Jackson Koivin just turned pro. This is only his fourth PGA Tour event, and he is about 8 holes away from getting his first PGA Tour win. There are guys that were near the top of the leaderboard who have been playing for many, many years who have never won a PGA Tour event. Jackson Koivin just 8 holes away from doing just that. And you look at the betting market, seems to be a virtual certainty that Jackson Koivin will be winning the 3M Open. So that's what's going on the PGA Tour. In Major League Baseball, we do have a game that's about to get underway between the Angels and the Giants. Jose Soriano versus Carson Wisenhunt. Joe, any bets for you in that contest? I couldn't get anywhere with this one. I understand why Soriano's the favorite here. Total's 8.5. But anything that stood out to you in that contest?
Yeah, I was looking because it is such a light baseball slate, at least during our show. There's only two games getting underway while we're on air, and one of them will actually be as we're wrapping up. So this is kind of the lone one. I couldn't get there. Soriano has regressed since he was otherworldly the first 6 or so weeks of the season. But I feel like, you know, what he did in April and May and the fact that it skewed his numbers to maybe look a little better than he's been over the last month or two, that's why the Angels are favored. Probably a good spot to come in on the Giants at home. Two bad teams, though. I just didn't need anything in this game.
Yeah, it's just like the reason why I was like trying to handicap it and be like, hey, can I find something? Because it's going to come on. And like I'd like something to sweat live. I couldn't get there with anything. Yeah. And it's like it's usually like those kind of contests where it's like, if we were not doing the show, I wouldn't think twice. I would look at it for a second. Nah, nothing stands out. I'm going to move on.
Right.
But like I was like the fact that we're doing the show, I'm like, I'm grinding. I'm like, can I find, is there a home run bet that I want? A first 5 bet? Nothing. Just nothing for me. So yeah, I have no bet in that game. And I'll just be sweating, in quotes, the end of the 3M Open as Billy Horschel 6 shots back with like five to play or whatever it is. So it will not,
not
be
sweating like an outdoor wedding in Florida in May.
No,
right?
No, nope, not doing that. We've done it in the past, but that is not taking place right now for me.
Not in that fit, man. You can't ruin
no,
that.
No,
fit.
No, no. I wore like a almost. I think the color is called like electric blue. It's actually kind of similar to the color of whoever's doing the electric golf. So if, I don't know if you're watching the golf, probably not. I don't blame you. But Jim Nantz is talking to someone and like the color, the blue that the gentleman has, it is a similar blue to that. And that is what my suit was at this wedding.
Are we talking like a steel blue, a powder blue, a cerulean blue? What are we looking at here?
I mean, I don't
like what the hell is electric blue?
Just Google electric blue. I'm Googling steel blue. No, it's not a steel blue. It was a little bit more vibrant than that. It was not powder. I was not out there like Dumb and Dumber or something like that. Like that was not
cerulean.
You're better with the colors than me. Let's see. Cerulean blue. Let's see. No, it just had a little bit more pop to it. Go flip on CBS right now. I don't know if you have the
like
controls.
A royal blue
with like a little bit more pizzazz than a royal blue.
We got 3 hours left and not a lot of games. we can extend the blue conversation a bit.
Do you have, I guess there's a TV behind you, it looks like, because for those who are watching.
No, I'm looking out the window. I don't have a ring light in here, so I'm staring at boats in the harbor right now.
Joe cannot actually watch any sports right now. I think that's a TV behind you. So I guess maybe during one of the breaks.
There is one behind me, yeah, but it only shows HBO late night.
No Cinemax? We're not doing Cinemax. Yeah. Okay, so that's what Joe's TV situation is like. If you want to watch a game, like let's say Yankees and the Phillies, the Peacock game, is that on like you have the tablet, you have the app, you have the phone, or is you going to the downstairs like hotel bar? Like what? Like how are you going to take in this game?
I'm sure Ocean Prime is going to have it on.
Oh,
the bar
that's what you're going to eat
by the time we're there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, after the show? Come on now.
There we go. I see.
You already know there's a reservation for two at Ocean Prime after the show.
I love it.
This is common knowledge.
I love it. I've never been to Miami, but I know Ocean Prime. And I've heard a lot of good things about Ocean Prime. So you, my friend, will be having a very nice dinner this evening.
Absolutely.
Have you been doing, like what has been the other food situation? Have you done, like Cuban sandwiches? Like what have you been getting at?
Have not had a Cubano yet, but I had Ropa Vieja my first night here, and it was incredible. By the way, a lot of plátanos. That's like, I am just enjoying all of that while I'm here. So I grew up in New York. My aunt, my uncle's ex-wife now, but she's also my godmother from the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So she made the best plátanos dulces. For those of you who don't know what those are, sweet plantains.
Okay, yeah. That's
and they're like, they're like candy. I mean, it is just like the most delicious thing in the world. So I grew up on those from my aunt and godmother. And in LA, I mean, you can find them at some places. I mean, LA, New York, major cities, you can find every type of cuisine, right? But they're so much more prominent down here in Miami. And
the options.
I've been eating a lot of those. Ropa Vieja, my first night here. Last night I love this spot down in Coconut Grove, Bar Taco. It's like really casual, but it's like really fun. I don't know, just amazing tacos. They're like $4 each, not pricey at all. I had a duck taco, obviously the fish taco, shrimp, like just amazing food out here.
Oh man, I can only imagine. Like big cities, big cities do food well. And like I know like everyone has their like this city has the best food, this city has the best food. By and large, I feel like they're kind of all like near the same. Like now certain things, like yes, you probably get the best slice of pizza in New York, or maybe you get the best like Cubano in Miami or whatever. But for the most part, big cities do everything
LA for Mexican food, Korean barbecue.
Exactly.
Like you gotta play into what you're doing. Like if you go to New Orleans and you get sushi, there's something wrong with you, right? Like if you're not doing gumbo and jambalaya in New Orleans, like what are we, you got to play into the home field advantage.
Little shrimp etouffee. You could do all sorts. Man, I went to New Orleans for Super Bowl week. Man, after that week, I was there the whole week. We Sunday all the way until Saturday, the day before the game. Like I was like on like a strict diet when I came back to Vegas, man. I was like, man, I ate way too like everything. There's so much salt in the food, but it's so damn good.
That's got to be like a top three food city.
It is so good. So I ate so much
in
damn
the US,
alligator.
What do we think?
Oh my gosh,
love that.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Love that. What do we think? Like, I mean, quick power ranking here. We got 2 minutes left. It's a slow day. Top five food cities in the U.S.
New Orleans,
New York, one.
New York has to be one, yeah. Because I mean, there's so many cultures that are
diversity,
there. Diversity,
everyone.
There's something for everyone in New York. I mean,
do we go New Orleans 2 or 3?
Texas has a conversation for food because, like, you get the barbecue, you get the Tex-Mex. So, like, if you want to do like a Houston or Dallas,
it's not multifaceted. I feel
it's, like. They throw two pitches, but they throw them very well.
So Texas is like, Texas is a really good closer, but it's not making the rotation, right? Like,
they might not be like a top of the line starter, but they're Mason Miller. All right.
I feel like I would go New York, LA, New Orleans, San Francisco, and then that 5 spot, dude, can be debated.
Oh my gosh. The Chinatown in San Francisco. Oh, it is unbelievable.
The Italian food, oh, like, gosh. San Fran is better Italian than LA. LA, just on the diversity thing, like, they have, LA I feel like is underrated. People don't think it's good. If you're just going to go to the restaurants that are a scene, that are stuck up and snobbish, you're not going to get great food. But if you know where to look, living there for 4 years, LA is just, to me, a hair behind New York.
I feel like people associate LA with like the street tacos. Like, I think people like, oh, like, LA does really good like tacos and stuff like that. But like, they're not going to think about
the Mexican's
other
amazing.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you don't have to go to the snobby, stuck-up places you see on Instagram in LA. Like, you can find really great restaurants.
I'd say Chicago.
Yeah, I'd probably
go
New Orleans 3, San Fran 4, maybe Chicago 5.
Chicago's a really good food city as well. Like, the steakhouses are tremendous. Obviously, if you're into like the tavern style pizza, or if you want to do the touristy deep dish pizza, which I always tell people, I'm like, if you go, like, you do have to try like the deep dish. Like, maybe do the tavern as well, which I know what the Chicago natives love the tavern stuff, but at least cross the deep dish off
the
bucket
list. Unlike LeBron, I'm out on Philly, though. But maybe we can get to that next after the break.
No cheesesteaks for Joe. All right, we'll discuss that when we come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
20 leagues, one mission, Just Win Bets, baby, is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so that you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name, it says it all. This is Live Bet Sunday. Femi Bebfe, Joe Serralo here with you guys. Coming up in 15 minutes, Noah Levick of NBC Sports Philadelphia will join us to talk about four-time finals MVP that joined the Sixers. We'll get into all that stuff. He happens to be named LeBron James. Yes, we will get to LeBron, Sixers, Eastern Conference hierarchy. Should Joe's New York Knicks be worried? All of that jazz coming up in 15 minutes. But in the last segment, and I don't know if this is you trying to knock the city of Philadelphia now that the Sixers-Knicks rivalry has been revitalized, you were saying that you're not a cheesesteak person. I've never been to Philadelphia, but you have been to Philly. You're a Northeast guy. You're not a cheesesteak person. It just the texture or like the everything. Like what's the issue with you and cheesesteaks?
Man, it is hard to whiff when you throw meat between bread, right? Like, you know, New York, give me any type of hero. Give me a chicken parm, a meatball hero, right? Down here in Miami right now, a Cubano. Cheesesteaks just suck. Like, I have never had one. They're either, everyone I've had, and I've had quite a few, you know, maybe a half dozen different places. Like, they're either too dry and it's just like not an enjoyable, pleasant experience, or they're, you know, moist and whatever, but they're doused in that gooey, crappy, fake cheese. Like, I'm big on real cheese. Don't give me that cheese whiz goo out of a can. No, thank you. I'm not going to the Masters doing the pimento garbage sandwiches that everyone's like, oh, you got to have this. I'm like, it's white bread and something that came out of a can that's got like more chemicals in it than the pesticides you put on your lawn. No, thank you. So yeah, cheese steaks are trash. Philly's got, I will say, like, they have some good Italian restaurants, right? But it's nothing that you can't get elsewhere in New York.
Yeah.
So it just feels like Philly, like, you know, like in basketball, they're just New York's little brother on the food scene. And plus, I don't know, every girl I've gone out with from the Philly area is just nuts. So I can't get behind anything Philadelphia.
We got to the root of the issue. We finally got to it towards the end.
I hate that city.
It's like, you know what? Yeah, you got the cheese whiz. I'm not feeling that. And, you know, it's a little bit moist or it's too dry. Also, I've dated a couple girls from Philly and they're all psychos. Like, now we got
absolutely nuts. Like, the last one ended with a watch out for your car. So, yeah. Oh, I'm
slashing tires. What's going on over there?
You can see that story too on Instagram at Joe Serrallo. That story did well.
I heard it's the city of brotherly love. I guess not. Yeah, I guess not interpersonal love. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe brotherly love. I don't know. The first football game I ever went to as a kid was Giants Eagles, and I saw two chicks get into a fight. So brotherly love, maybe, man. But the women in Philly, not so much.
I mean, talk about going to these NFL games, man. All hell breaks loose at these games. Like, it's insane the amount of beverages that are consumed and how riled up people get at these contests. For some reason, you don't get it in basketball. I don't know why. Like basketball, you don't really see the wow. I mean, obviously, there's fewer people. Like, an arena is going to only have like 15,000 versus a stadium is going to have like 70,000. So just like from a mathematical standpoint, the chances are higher that you'll see a fight at a football game than a basketball game. But still, basketball, I mean, you got 82 games a season. You only got 17 in the NFL. But I feel like every Sunday I see a video of somebody fighting. I never see people fighting at basketball games. I feel like it never happens.
You know, man, it was so funny because growing up too, like, I grew up, my dad would always take me to Mets games. We'd go to a lot, right? Couple Knicks games here and there too. I mean, that was, you know, more of an ordeal. But I was dying to go to a Giants game. Like, I wanted nothing more than to go to a football game. And he wouldn't take me for the longest time, made me wait. Finally, I'm in eighth grade. He takes me to my first game. And these two women row in front of us, one Giant fan, one Philly fan, and they get into a brawl. And he turns to me and he goes, "Now you know why I wouldn't take you when you were little."
Yeah. Got to be old enough.
Really is true.
Got to be old enough for this stuff.
Like, I see guys bringing like their, you know, 5-6-year-old kids to football games. And I'm like, yeah, I think my dad had a point there. Like, you're going to see some stuff there. You're going to grow up quick at a football game.
I went to my first football game when I was 6 years old. So like, my dad was like one of those dads that took a small child to the game. But like, this is also like 1996. I don't know if the tensions were as high as they are in 2026, or maybe just like people were just more chill. But it was like the old Kingdome. It was a Viking Seahawks game. I'm not even sure who won the game because like, I was a fan of the Cowboys even at that age. My dad rooted for the Cowboys. My older brother did. My uncles all did. But like, it was, hey, it's like a free football game. My dad,
6 year old,
you know, hey, what do you want me to do, man? This is the household I grew up in. What am I like? Oh, you guys like the Cowboys? Hey. Now I'm going to root for the Giants. Like, what? How is that going to go over?
I'm messing with you. There's no front running there. The Cowboys haven't been in a horrendous conference championship since before I was born.
Honestly, Cowboys fans, like we're getting to the point of almost being like damn near Red Sox fans pre 2004. Where it's just like, yeah, man, like this, it was great, but now the team never wins. You know, like, I mean, sure, we're about a decade away from being like Knicks fans pre this past summer. You know,
no exaggeration either. That's
dead on. I was just like, it's like, yeah, man, the yesteryears were phenomenal. Like, it was so good. And all of our guys now work in media. They're all like Aikman and Irvin and Emmett. Like, you see them everywhere, but it's just like, well, you know, the team hasn't really done a whole lot since. Like, man, like, come holler at me in 2046. If the Cowboys still haven't won a Super Bowl, like, dude, it's going to be something, man. But
I hope not, too, because if anyone thought Knicks fans were insufferable this summer when they won, Cowboy fans will be so insufferable.
We will never let people hear the end of it. It will be decades worth of, how about them Cowboys? Like, it will be all over the place. As by the way, 7 Sundays from the first Sunday in the NFL. But we did start talking about Philadelphia because
Tony Romo going to be out of jail by then, by the way.
Hey man, quit messing with my guy. All right.
I heard he allegedly had a few Bush Lights out there in Wisconsin.
Oh no, those are not Bush Lights, man. You know, he's having that Spotted Cow. You know, they're doing that Wisconsin stuff. That's what he was drinking.
We got to get Greg Hoops Peterson on just to break down the Wisconsin beer scene. I'm sure he's got a bracket. He's got to have a bracket for it.
People from Wisconsin swear by Spotted Cow, And I am not from Wisconsin.
I've never even heard of it.
So it's like a popular beer that you can pretty much only get in Wisconsin. I don't know, maybe it's neighboring states can get it as well. But it's like it's pretty exclusive. It's almost like In-N-Out to California, like how like people like if you're from the East Coast, like you've likely never had In-N-Out before because it's just not available. But like Spotted Cow, like anyone that you meet from Wisconsin will tell you that it's like the greatest beer on planet Earth. It is not. Is it a pretty solid beer? Yes. And I have confidence in saying this. Like, I'm
like people from Pennsylvania with Yingling. Like, yeah, yes, Yingling gets the job done, but yeah, it's not but the end all be all.
It's nothing to write home about. It is absolutely nothing to write home about. And like,
I'll drink it at a Pirates game, sure.
My first 3 years in this business, I was a local sports anchor in Bend, Oregon. If you know anything about Bend, Oregon, Bend knows beer. So like, I know beer. I've had some damn good beers before. So like, I don't think of myself as a beer snob, but like when we start talking about like great beers, I can become snobbish. So, cause I've tasted what great beer tastes like. Like Spotted Cow is solid. It's good. It's refreshing. But man, like you would think that this is like liquid gold the way people from Wisconsin talk about it. I'm sorry, guys. It ain't that good. It's all right. It ain't that good.
I've heard the Oregon and Washington State beer scene is off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
And like the microbreweries on the West Coast.
The water from the mountain. Yeah. It's like phenomenal.
San Diego has a great microbrewery scene. LA, not so much. You know, everyone in LA is drinking a tequila soda. Like
exactly.
Me.
Yeah.
But San Diego, great microbrewery scene, and it bleeds over at Petco Park. But yeah, Oregon and Washington. I've actually never been to either state, but I've heard that the beer scene is phenomenal.
Go in the summertime. That's my suggestion. It's like the reverse Vegas. Like Vegas is fun.
Gotta get a Mariners game in, so it's gonna happen. Man,
beautiful ballpark. T-Mobile ballpark is phenomenal. It used to be my favorite. Then I actually went to a Giants game and I was like, oh, this ballpark might be better. Yeah. But like T-Mobile.
I walked by Oracle this year at Super Bowl week and it was, I didn't get to go in, but it looked pretty stunning. Speaking of your Mariners,
Are
they doing anything against DeGrom?
No, they're not.
Can we get some runs, please?
No, they're not doing
anything. They got guys on.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get something going. I mean, DeGrom's no longer in the game, so at least you got that going for you. Who knows? Maybe that's no longer a positive. Maybe you want DeGrom to be out
there. They got him for 7 hits, but only 1 run.
Yeah. So a little bit of bad luck here for the Mariners. But you have him full game, though, so you know, nothing to sweat. Only down 3-1 in the top of the 6.
They've lost, 4 in a row, man? Are they going to be sellers?
Good. No, I don't think
Like, the division's up for grabs, but...
I think they're too... Like, they could fall off a cliff this week, and they'll still probably only be, like, 4.5 back. You know, like the division is like no one's.
They're 3 in the loss column right now. And obviously, this game is going to determine whether it's 2 or 4 because they're playing the first place team that's 2 over .500.
No one's going to run away with that AL West, at least not this week, to where I would be pretty surprised if the Mariners started to sell. They just got to play better. You know, Cal Raleigh's falling off a cliff after what we saw last year. You know, he was right there with Aaron Judge in the MVP conversation. Now Cal Raleigh's betting pathetic. Like 180 or something like that, you know? Like it's been brutal. So like
Seattle, the only team in that division with a positive run differential. The first place Rangers have a negative run differential.
It's disgusting. And the Rangers can't stay healthy. You know, Josh Young now on the IL. Like it's like they get guys back and another guy goes to IL. Then like it's just a vicious cycle for them. I kind of think Houston might just win the division, but we'll see what happens over the next couple of months. We will see what also happens in the NBA and get a preview of that. Sixers talk with Noah Levick when we come back here on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is Live Bet Sunday. He's Joe Serralo. I'm Femi Abepfe here with you guys on VSiN. Jackson Koivun has a 3-shot lead, 24 under through 12. Scotty Scheffler is at 21 under. Scotty only has a couple holes to play there. He is now on 17. So it is looking more and more like Jackson Koivun will be getting his first PGA Tour victory. The 21-year-old from Auburn is living up to the billing as he is seen as golf's next superstar. And this is kind of his introduction to the casual sports world. Also got a lot of games going on in Major League Baseball. We'll keep our eyes on that throughout the rest of this hour. But joining us right now, he talks the 76ers. He covers the 76ers for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Been covering them for 8 years. It is Noah Levick joining us here via the Progressive Guest Line. And he's on Twitter at Noah Levick. Noah, thanks for hanging out with us here on Live Bet Sunday. And I just want to kind of ask you, since you're in the city, What has been the vibe like these last 48 hours with LeBron signing with the Sixers Friday afternoon?
Yeah, no question. I think many people have still not gotten their head around this and still look strange in the photoshops of LeBron James and in the black Sixers jersey and everything. But by and large, from what I can gather, immense positivity among the fan base. I think there's been a lot of playoff disappointment throughout the Joel Embiid era. A lot of teams that look strong on paper and fell a little short of expectations. And this just feels radically different. This is one of the greatest superstars in the history of sports, and he's coming to Philly. And I think many people have a ton of optimism about what this is all going to look like.
Noah, break down this this starting five for me. Is this the best starting five that you've seen in any team in your lifetime? I mean, you know, pound for pound, I know LeBron was a lot younger when he went to the Heat, but that was the big three, right? LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. You look at the starting five, Maxey, Edgecombe, who I'm incredibly high on, LeBron, Embiid, Brown. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Certainly not in Philadelphia. I think up until this point, most people would tell you the Jimmy Butler era Sixers had the best starting five. That was the team that lost in game seven on the quadruple bounce Kawhi Leonard shot. But gosh, yeah, this team, the starters should most definitely be a giant strength. And I think for the most part, there's just really nice balance here. I don't think there's any clunkiness in terms of who should play where. And I think LeBron James in particular fills some obvious holes. Sixers needed a power forward size player. They needed someone who could help the stars get the best out of each other, who could dissect defenses, and who could pass the ball at an elite level. LeBron James is obviously still checking all those boxes at 41. And yeah, as you said, the stars are most certainly Tyrese Maxey, Jaylen Brown, both all NBA guys last year, Joel Embiid still very dominant when available. But yeah, VJ Edgecombe should not be overlooked. Was a rookie of the year finalist last year, and the Sixers are ultra high on his two-way potential.
This is Live Bet Sunday. Femi Bebefe, Joe Serralo, hanging out with Noah Levick, covers the Sixers for NBC Sports Philadelphia, and he's on Twitter at Noah Levick. You mentioned it, though, because I think this is the big question with this team. Joel Embiid. How do the Sixers manage Joel Embiid? And is it going to be similar to what we saw in years past where it's like no back-to-backs? Maybe he set, let's say, plays 50 games out of the 82. Like, how do they make sure that Embiid can be healthy and at his best come April, May, and perhaps even June?
Yeah, just in terms of what's within his control health-wise, he's really optimistic. He said at the end of the year, he feels his knees are in a good place, and he thinks he's going to play a lot of games next year. That said, yeah, I'd be really surprised if back-to-backs are suddenly part of his schedule again. I think the Sixers understand the ultimate priority needs to be his health for the playoffs. But the bottom line is he just needs much better luck than he's had in practically every season. Last year, had an emergency appendectomy at the tail end of the year, and that led to him missing the Sixers' first few playoff games. So, yeah, I'm sure with Joel Embiid, he's always going to push to play. He's very often gritted through pain and discomfort and all of that. But the Sixers are going to try to keep reminding him time and time again, we need you for the playoffs, and you are still essential to our championship ambitions, and your availability is the central aspect of that.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off of that with Embiid load management, with LeBron being on the other side of 40, how do we bet this team in the regular season? I feel like they're really enticing to take a shot on them, you know, to win the East, maybe even to win it all. But regular season, for example, I'm looking at a market, 50 or more wins is minus 125. Are they a team that's going to try to win 50-55 games, or is it just more so stay healthy, get to the playoffs, give these guys their rest in the regular season, and then when April rolls around, we'll put them out there every night for extended minutes?
I think they're generally going to lean more in the direction of wanting to win a lot of games, wanting to have home court advantage, get a high seed. It's been a while since either of those have been the case. Hasn't happened yet under Nick Nurse. And yeah, I do think the Sixers should be awfully effective in terms of plans B, C, and D, right? Like if Joel Embiid is out, maybe LeBron James takes a larger offensive load. If Tyrese Maxey is out. Maybe James becomes more of a pure point guard in certain lineups. So I do think the team's versatility and adaptability and competency in terms of treading water when guys sit or guys are sidelined does look pretty high to me. So yeah, 50 plus wins would not surprise me whatsoever. And I think that will absolutely be the aim going into the year.
Well, let's live in an ideal world, if we will. Let's say Joel Embiid has the healthy season that he has desired over the last 5 years or so. LeBron is healthy at his age 42 once we turn the calendar to 2027. Maxey, Edgecombe, Jaylen Brown, they're all humming on all cylinders. Pound for pound, are the Sixers the best team in the East? Because the reigning champion, New York Knicks, are right there, not too far away from the city of brotherly love. Should Philadelphia be the favorite if they get the ideal outcome from a health standpoint?
I think they still need to prove it. I mean, yes, the team has dramatically changed, but they were swept out of the playoffs by the Knicks last year. And the final game was an embarrassing home loss where Knicks fans took over the arena in Philadelphia. And a lot needs to change on the court in order for the Sixers to perform much better than that. But yeah, the roster certainly looks much, much better in my eyes. And I think last year, there wasn't really a clear identity. They were middle of the pack on both sides of the ball. I think now it would be stunning if they were not among the NBA's elites offensively. I think, of course, defensively, some questions to answer. And yeah, as you said, just the durability of the stars is a major question. But I would say if everything breaks their way health-wise, I've got to think they're a top two or three team in the East. And then the ultimate question is, can they actually knock off the Knicks, and can they finally break past the second round of the playoffs for the first time since 2001 when Allen Iverson was MVP?
Noah, how about arguably their biggest rival, the Boston Celtics? I mean, right now the Sixers and Celtics are neck and neck, same odds to win the division, right around the same odds to win the East. I'm low on Boston. Is Boston a team to look at to fade in the betting market going into this season, or do you think that Mazzulla and Tatum have something up their sleeve?
I do think Joe Mazzulla has an incredible track record of winning tons of games year after year with a bunch of different lineups, and they have a clear style of play there. They're going to launch a bunch of threes and lean on that offensively. And I don't think it should be overlooked that Paul George, when available, was awfully good for the Sixers in the postseason. I think he hit about 50% of his threes in the playoffs and was really consistently good for them on both ends of the ball. But yeah, to me, the Sixers, as I said, just look so versatile and so equipped to sort of handle whatever's thrown their way. And I think, at least on paper, it appears less the case with Boston. Like, it does appear imperative that Jason Tatum stays healthy and that team sort of maintains a high level of play if and when he miss any games. So yeah, I would say I wouldn't like count out Boston's ability to keep chugging along, keep winning a bunch of games. But I think the Sixers look like a team that very well may finally finish ahead of the Celtics in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, the Sixers look like they're as good as anybody out in the East, and that includes the defending champion New York Knicks. He is Noah Levick, covers the Sixers for NBC Sports Philadelphia on Twitter at Noah Levick. Noah, enjoy what should be a wild ride in the 2026-27 NBA season.
Will do. Yeah, thank you for having me.
That is Noah Levick joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. Joe, I mean, this Eastern Conference, you're a Knicks fan. You guys just won the title, but now here's Kawhi on the Raptors, Giannis on the Heat, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James now on the Sixers. Like, this is insane.
Did Kawhi happen yet?
Well, I guess, yeah.
Is Kawhi a go?
It's a pending wager. Kawhi is a pending wager.
It's a hell of a long pending.
We think that it's going to go, but who knows? But, like, all that, it's insane, this conference.
Don't tell me the East is weak. And then, you know, when expansion happens, you might get Minnesota Ant-Man in the Eastern Conference, too. That's a few years away, of course, but don't tell me the East is weak. I got some thoughts on the Eastern Conference we can get to on the other side, but I'm already excited for next basketball season.
Shoot, Minnesota might say, let's keep us out West, man. We don't want to go send Memphis to the Eastern Conference. We don't want that smoke.
Right.
We'll talk a little more NBA on the other side. This is Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is Live Bet Sunday. Femi Bebefe, Joe Serralo. Thank you to Noah Levick, who joined us in the last segment. Covers the Sixers for NBC Sports Philadelphia. As, man, it's saying it out loud, Joe, it still sounds crazy that LeBron James signed with the Philadelphia 76ers. We were talking about Cleveland, Miami, maybe Golden State if they can pull off an Anthony Davis trade. Nope. It's the Philadelphia 76ers. And Rich Paul, LeBron James' agent, Clutch Sports, and whatever his podcast is, I cannot plug it here. I forgot the name of it. Otherwise, I would. I know Shams hit him with the plug on that one. But Rich Paul said that it was between Philly and Golden State. Cleveland was not under, I mean, I'm sure they were under consideration, but they weren't a finalist. Miami wasn't a finalist. It was Philly and the Warriors. And I'm assuming the Warriors are just like, well, we're not going to trade for Anthony Davis. So come or if you don't, like come or don't. You know, like, and they said, all right, well, we'll go to Philadelphia. And that's how he ends up on the Sixers. And that's how I'm sure a lot of people who maybe bet some speculative bets with the Sixers on the prediction markets made a lot of money Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was looking at the prediction markets. Gosh, I was on air doing a morning show in LA on Monday, and Philly was like fluctuating between 8% and 11% on call sheet. And Miami was fluctuating anywhere between, you know, various points. Like their low point was 45% to 47%. Their high was about 53% to 56%. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Miami, you know, it seemed like it was nothing's ever a done deal in this business until it's done. But Miami was far ahead of everywhere else. And, you know, Pat Riley seemed pretty confident about it. Giannis was making his pitch. It just shows these prediction markets, you know, and they don't know nothing. No one knows nothing. So, I mean, Philadelphia, they were the fourth shot. I thought it was between Miami and Golden State. I didn't see Cleveland really happening, and they were the second shot. But I thought it was Miami or Golden State. Philly or Golden State shocked me to know Miami wasn't even top two.
Well, I think the point of no one knows nothing is even more important when it comes to this particular player in LeBron James. Like, he keeps it pretty close to the vest. Like we all famously know like how everything went down with the decision in 2010, where he didn't even notify the Miami Heat until like a few hours before the actual TV show that, hey, like I'm going to sign with you guys. Like LeBron's not letting the leaks get out. Like it was Rich Paul telling Shams. That's how Shams had the tweet. It wasn't like Shams finding out through back channels or whatever. It's like, no, we just told you. And like, we already have like the statements ready and all that stuff. Like when he went to the Lakers, it was a statement from Clutch Sports. When he went to the Cavaliers in 2014, it was the Sports Illustrated article. Like everything is buttoned up in LeBron's camp. Cause if you're a leak, guess what? You're no longer in the camp. Like that's kind of how that's how they run things over there. So that's what always made this surprising to me. And that's why like the prediction markets, as much as like you want to try to use them as some sort of compass to like what the truth might be, in this instance, everyone was just guessing, man. They were making, again, even an educated guess at the end of the day is still a guess. And people were just guessing. And then you had the Miami Heat accidental placeholder for the press conference, the introductory press conference. So we're like, that's what took the market into a frenzy, where all of a sudden Miami goes from like 35% to now like 55%. And that was just like somebody setting up a, hey, like just have this just in case, but it actually ended up going live. And it's like, whoa, they're going to sign LeBron. Actually, they just hit the wrong button. And they were just being prepared. You know, like,
you think that intern got fired? What do we think happened to that guy? I'd like to see the odds market on that.
I'm assuming that they were probably let go. And I'm not like, people get let go of jobs. You know, it's a tough business. But like that's a pretty bad mistake, man.
A rough mistake.
It's a pretty rough mistake to make. And it was a mistake that.
How do you view the Heat?
A lot of money
going into this year.
I
mean, how do we view like Giannis and Bam? I mean, it's a great 1-2 punch. The rest of that roster leaves a little something to be desired for me.
Yeah, and like we can have the Eastern Conference conversation here, because Miami, when they made the trade for Giannis, my first thoughts was, okay, well, what else are they going to do? Because as currently constructed, this does nothing for me. Like, and that's not shade towards Giannis at his peak is still a top five player in the NBA, but it's just, the roster is a weird fit. Like there's not a lot of shooting on the roster.
You're athletic down low, but bingo. But where's the shooting?
Like where's the shooting? You know, Bam Adebayo is not a scorer. I know he scored 83 points, but like that's not his jam.
I was gonna say, yeah. He might swing it. He might swing at you for that one, Femi.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Last time he was in Vegas, he swung at someone. I think for saying that same thing.
I know his girl lives out here, so I'm sure he spends some time out here. But I'm not Bam. You're a great player, but you're a great defensive player who can score. You're not a great scorer. I think that's fair assessment of Bam Adebayo's play. You know, us Nigerian brothers, we got to stick together. Let's not throw hands, all right? Let's not throw hands out here. But, like, you know, like Bam, that's like
you, scoring. Him, and Tyler Hero, the Three Musketeers over here.
No, don't put me in no Tyler Hero. Don't put me in there with that.
I think Tyler Hero thinks he's Nigerian sometimes. I don't know.
Potentially.
He's drinking that Jack Harlow Fiji water, you know?
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing none of that stuff. But I'm like to, it's just it lacks scoring creativity and it lacks shooting in a loaded Eastern Conference where you have the Knicks. Now you have the Sixers. I mean, like everyone I know has thrown Detroit off like to the side. They've thrown them out with the bathwater because of how things ended. Detroit is still a really good team. You know, the Raptors, if they can finally finalize this Kawhi trade. Like there's Indiana, who we haven't talked a bunch because they were tanking this past season. Welcome back Tyrese Halliburton. That was a team that was maybe a Tyrese Halliburton Achilles injury away from potentially winning the NBA title. Like, there's so many good teams. If you're going to be kind of a clunky roster like Miami sort of is, it's hard for me to be invested or hard for me to believe that you're going to be a legit contender.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a team that no one's talking about, too, and it's kind of funny because they were the one seed a year ago. Like, how about Detroit?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Pistons are nothing to scoff at. Now, do I think they're going to emerge from the East? I absolutely do not. But that Eastern Conference, it's not like it's just the Knicks, Sixers, Celtics, and Heat. I mean, the Cavs still, like, were the Cavs worthy of the conference finals? Probably not.
Yeah,
are they a really good team?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Cleveland's a really good team. Detroit is a really good team. The Raptors might actually scare me more than the Boston Celtics going into next year. I don't know, regular season. I mean, I feel like those are your third and fourth place teams. In the postseason, I'd rather see Boston than a Kawhi-led Toronto squad. So, I mean, Kawhi and Scotty Barnes, I don't want anything to do with those guys in a playoff series. That's when everyone starts playing defense. I don't want to see those guys in the playoffs. So that Eastern Conference, it's not just that it's star-studded or top-heavy. It's not just Knicks, Sixers, Heat. It's deep, and everyone always knocks the Eastern Conference for depth. The Eastern Conference, I think, pound for pound this year, going to be better than the Western Conference. That's the top-heavy conference to me of, obviously, you know, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. Maybe I'll even put Houston, if they're healthy,
Houston
there with them. Oh. I think Houston could be sneaky this year.
Oh, I'm out on Houston. To me, it's...
Are you?
It's OKC, San Antonio, and, like, Minnesota as, like, that third team, and then the rest, I'm like, yeah. You're a pretender.
Minnesota's great to like get to the conference finals, but then they lay an egg. Like, I just don't think Minnesota's going to take that next step.
See, I think, and this might be a contrarian opinion, because I think a lot of people just don't like how this guy sort of like behaves. I actually love the LaMelo Ball trade for the T-Wolves. Like they needed a point guard desperately. What is he? He's a phenomenal point guard. Just get him a chauffeur or an Uber driver or whatever. So like somebody to just get him off the road. As long as you can get all that stuff under wraps, like I still think the T-Wolves are like they still have Jaden McDaniels, who like let's say he takes another step forward. Rudy Gobert is still one of the best defensive players in the NBA. Anthony Edwards, who dealt with a lot of injuries last season, if he can get healthy. And now it's no longer Ant-Man having to create for himself. Now it's LaMelo Ball, one of the best passers in the NBA, helping create for him, which takes the load off of Anthony Edwards in terms of like his energy. So I think the T-Wolves are going to be a super efficient team offensively. Defensively, they're always going to be really good since they have Rudy Gobert as their anchor. So I have Minnesota pretty squarely as like that number three team in the West. The Houstons, the LAs, both LAs for that matter, Lakers, Clippers, the
Nuggets. Snowtime Lakers?
Yes. Hey, you talk about it snowing in Miami. It's snowing in LA as well,
bro.
Over at the crypto.com arena.
It's just only thing, you know, the only thing stopping this Lakers team is a UV of 7, man. I mean, this. You look at this roster.
They inside like, with the SPF 50.
Can Jackie Robinson break this barrier? I don't think so, man.
they putting on the SPF 50 inside the arena.
that's you got to pronounce the H. That team is white.
all jokes aside, though, like it's a weird roster to me. Like Luka and Austin Reeves were non-defenders. Walker Kessler, good player. I don't think he's as good as like the trade requests all of a sudden overrated him to be, but he's a good player.
That salary is crazy.
Like, they paid a pretty penny for it, you know? So like, yeah. I don't believe in this Lakers team. And I don't believe in the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are out of gas. Jamal Murray, the injuries have caught up to him, clearly. Like, Jokic is going to still do his thing. But, like, yeah, they're not deep enough. So you look around the West, I see a bunch of flawed teams outside of two. And then in the East, man, you squint hard. You can make a case for a lot of these teams to actually win the conference. So I can't wait to see how it all unfolds this upcoming NBA season. What about what's happening in the WNBA? We're post All-Star break. Let's talk stretch run with Terrell Furman next here on Live Bet Sunday.